Hi, everyone, and welcome to On The Box, the Geek Show's dedicated television podcast. We talk about TV like other people talk about other things. And I'm Rob, and joining me today are the amazing, the wonderful, the understated Andy.
Yay!
Understated. And the absolutely stupendous, fantabulous, splendiferous Andrew.
That's me.
Yes.
I'm excited to be here.
And how are you two on this? How are you two on this day of days when we have a president called Trump?
Well, we don't have a president.
Well, we don't, not personally, but yeah, Trump is now officially the president of the United States. How are you guys on this day of days when, well, when the term presidential Trump means something different?
These are days, which really dark days. I think I should start thinking to put a bet on The Rock to be the president by 2020.
Thing is, my mum's birthday was yesterday, right? And not only did she have steroid injections in both her knees, so she was in an immense amount of pain, Donald Trump was also inaugurated as president of the United States. So,
wow.
Hell of a birthday present for mum. So,
and even worse, Ariana Grande is in a Final Fantasy game now.
Yeah, I know. What the hell's that all about?
That's the thing.
How?
It's some weird... There's like a Final Fantasy mobile game they've done.
Yeah, I've been playing it. It's called Brave Exvius.
Yeah. And now, Ariana Grande, she's in it.
Yeah, I still don't know who the hell she is. I just know...
Do you mean as a song or...
As a character?
No, I mean the singer Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Is now a playable character in a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah. Which, well, yeah. I still don't know who she is. All I know is that the icon that I've got on my smartphone for Brave Exvius suddenly has a picture of this girl on there. I'm like, what the hell's going on? But anyway, we're getting off topic. On The Box is part of the Geek Show Podcast Network, and we like what we do. And if you like what we do, then show your support, head over to our website, either make a donation or buy one of our lovely bits of merchandise. You can find everything on our website, thegeekshow.co.uk, including all sorts of discussions, all our shows, and various reviews and things like that. Now, on to the news. So, over to you guys.
I'll kick us off, because I've got a bit of sad news that we need to get out of the way.
Okay.
The actor Miguel Ferrer has died.
Which one was Miguel Ferrer?
Last Thursday of throat cancer. He's one of those guys who has basically been in everything. Like, as soon as you see a picture of him, you'll know who he is. I think probably the most famous thing he did was it was Albert Rosenfield in Twin Peaks. Medical examiner.
Yeah, yeah.
A really, really sarcastic guy.
Yeah, I know the guy you're on about now.
Yeah, it is a shame because he was very talented.
He was really good as an actor. Although I did get confused between him and Michael Ironside quite a lot.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
Well, they both had that kind of... They were both kind of balding around on the top, but, you know, had some hair around the edges and had that very stern, serious approach. Although I think Michael Ironside tended to grimace better than Miguel Ferrer.
Yeah, I feel like... Miguel Ferrer is sarcastic. Michael Ironside is just plain angry.
Yeah, actually, that's a better description than mine. That's a much better description than mine. Did you mention to me, though, he was related to Clooney?
Yeah, apparently he's George Clooney's cousin.
I did not know that until you mentioned it. And I'm just kind of... I don't see the resemblance.
No. Must be, like, fairly distant cousins. Although... Maybe you're going to push the jaw up a little bit or scrunch the eyes up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I still can't see it.
Okay.
He also did a lot of voice acting work. Actually, kind of loads of superhero stuff. Like, he was in Superman the Animated Series. He was in Jackie Chan Adventures.
Was he?
Ah.
Oh, wow. That is a crazy coincidence. He was also the voice of Sinestro in The Batman.
And he was Sinestro in The Batman, and he was in Jackie Chan Adventures.
Yeah.
Who was he in Jackie Chan Adventures, I've got to ask?
He was Tarakudo.
Ah, right. Do you know, there was a part of my brain going, please say old uncle, please say old uncle.
Oh, if only.
I know. Because I used to love old uncle in Jackie Chan Adventures.
Everyone loves uncle. He was the best at that. One more thing.
And just the way he just suddenly from left field, suddenly, Jackie!
Sounded like a very EastEnders version of Uncle.
The Pat Butcher version.
But yeah, because the one thing I wanted to mention, because it's probably not enough to throw it onto four panel.
Yeah.
Is, you know, the comics writer Peter Davis?
Yeah.
Peter David, even. Apparently, Miguel Ferrer was a close friend of his.
Oh.
And Spider-Man 2099 is actually named after him.
Is it?
Yeah, because his name is Miguel O'Hara.
Apparently, wow.
That's where the Miguel comes from.
I didn't know that. I was not aware of that at all.
Yeah, just thought that was a kind of an interesting fact to throw in there.
Wow. Huh. Well, anyway, shall we move on?
Yeah, let's move on to some writing news now.
Yes.
That's your cue, Andy.
Are we going to the lighter news?
Yes.
We are going to lighter news.
Yes. Well, everybody's aware of the events yesterday.
No, what happened yesterday?
Thanks, Andy. But when I said lighting news, I of course meant the impending end of all we hold dear.
Well, as we all know, the inauguration speech was live on BBC. Would have been about 5 o'clock last night or something, round about then. And BBC subtitles have always been a really good, funny source of...
fibre.
Yeah. Anyway, this time, though, they went a completely different direction. This time they had the totally wrong subtitles up for the wrong programme.
Okay, when you say the totally wrong subtitles up for the wrong programme, you're on about the inauguration speech, I take it?
Yes. But so, with subtitles from...
Oh, please say... Can we guess it first? Can we guess it?
You can guess it.
Andrew, what do you think it was? Subtitles from which programme?
I'm going to say EastEnders. Or something where there's some kind of like Ray Winstone-type character just saying, you slag.
I'm going to guess Holby City. Is it Holby City?
Or was it just the words, I have tiny hands, I have tiny, tiny hands?
No, was it the subtitles from Have I Got News For You? Please say so.
I'll narrow it down for you.
Okay.
It's a show currently on CBBC.
Teletubbies?
No, but that would be funny.
In the Night Garden. Is he actually going to build that wall to keep the Ninky Nong out?
He's going to send the Ninky Nong to attack. It's America's new strategic arms race.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's Tracy Beaker spin-off, The Dumping Ground. What? And there's a little screenshot of a little clip that they've made. And the subtitles read, look, if you ain't seen Sasha, just do one, yeah.
Do one what?
Yeah.
No, do one what? What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to do one of what? What? Tell me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Oh, so it is appropriate for Donald Trump then.
Yeah, and then one of the characters says, no one wants you here. Just shut it.
What am I supposed to shut?
I was doing it on purpose.
This is Ryan all over again. I don't know what I'm supposed to shut. Someone tell me what I'm supposed to shut.
It, Rob. You need to find it and you need to shut it.
What is it? Shut it
and do one.
Do one what? Sorry, I understand the context of it. I am obviously kidding. I don't understand this modern lingo anymore. Ryan says on social media, I can't even, and my reply is, you can't even what? I don't know what you want. Do you need help? What can't you even do?
See, to be fair, I've always thought that one worked. Because in my mind, it's, I can't even.
See, to me, I'm just looking at it and being completely literal, you know, as I used to be when I was a kid, and I thought clubbing meant going out and hitting people with sticks. Yeah, I was a bit of a.
The more I hear about you as a child, the less I'm surprised you were bullied.
Wait until you see the pictures.
Oh no, I've seen the pictures. You absolutely deserved every wedgie.
I know. I look back at it like, yeah, I get it. It's the benefit of being much older and looking back at who you used to be as a kid. And like, I get it. I would have done the same to me if I met me. But yeah, I'm just being completely literal. I don't know what to do. And, you know, when they say do one, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. One of what? You know, are we talking about camels? Am I supposed to do something with a camel? What am I supposed to do?
Oh, you would love this advert that I keep hearing on the radio.
What?
It's like a bed shop. And no. It just ends with the line, because sleep is too important. But too important for what?
Exactly.
That's not a sentence.
Exactly.
Like half a sentence.
At least with I can't even, you can use it as I can't even finish a sentence, right? But just shut it. Shut what? Just do one. Do what? Do one of what?
That is the vague, unhelpful insult there is.
Yes.
I just can't get that image of the camel out my head now, though, Rob. Trump and the camel. Sounds like a DBBC show in its own right.
You can't really say the camel's Trump because people just turn around and go, well, no, surely you mean hump. You go, no. Trump, definitely Trump.
Anyway.
Yes. From my lame joke. So BBC got their subtitles wrong and put Tracy Beaker's... No, not even Tracy Beaker. They couldn't even do Tracy Beaker. They had to go with a Tracy Beaker spin-off.
Called the
Donald Trump. Trump isn't even worthy of original Tracy Beaker.
Yes. It had to be a spin-off. I suppose the British equivalent would be... Theresa May taking office and them using subtitles from Hannah Montana's show about Hannah Montana's best friend.
Or the Chuckle Brothers' uncle.
The Chuckle Brothers don't have an uncle. They were born in a cosmic singularity event as they are. Perfect comedy union.
Just assumed like a vat of radioactive waste fell on a pile of brushes.
It didn't.
I got this.
All right. Okay. Let's move on. What's next?
To me, to you now.
I was just about to say so to me. I've got one other story. It's going to be an upcoming episode of both Supergirl and The Flash, which is one of those crossover type thingies they like doing now.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a musical crossover.
Oh.
Get it, guys? Because they were both in Glee, guys.
Oh, so they were God, yeah.
Singing, which really makes it sound like it's going to suck. But then, turns out, really, Andy, this is going to be nothing to you. But the villain is going to be the Music Meister.
Ah, seriously?
Ooh, yes. So for anyone who doesn't know, a while ago there was a cartoon series called Batman the Brave and the Bold. Which, like, I've just started watching fairly recently, and is possibly one of the greatest Batman cartoons I've ever seen.
Yes.
Because it's just, like, all the Silver Age wackiness in one episode.
Yes.
And so one episode has the Music Meister, voiced by Neil Patrick Harris, because freaking of course it's Neil Patrick Harris.
Well, it couldn't be anyone else.
Yeah, and his superpower is to basically make the world into a musical episode.
Which is basically, if Neil Patrick Harris had a superpower in real life, that would be it.
It is.
Andrew, do you know this music, is it Music Maestro or whatever it is, right?
Music Meister, Andy, God.
Does he come from down your way?
He is not the music man. And he cannot play, or he can play. He plays piano. He does not go pia pia piano.
Sorry, Andrew. Neil Patrick Harris is down my way.
No, seriously, though. Neil Patrick Harris could turn anything into a musical. You know, James Corden does that talk show on American TV? He had Neil Patrick Harris on after the Tonys, and the first thing that they did was have a Broadway off. Kind of like a rap battle, but involving musical numbers. So how do you think this episode's going to play out, Andrew?
Well, I'm kind of hoping that it's basically just exactly the same as the cartoon episode. Of course, down to Music Meister being played by Neil Patrick Harris. Because no one else can do that.
No one else can do that.
I mean, especially because I think it was actually written specifically for him.
Are they actually having Neil Patrick Harris play the Music Meister?
I don't know. He hasn't been cast yet.
Because you can't have anyone else. The role is his. It belongs to him.
Yeah, because it is just Neil Patrick Harris, but a supervillain.
Yeah, that's essentially all Music Meister is. It's basically Neil Patrick Harris as he is now, crossed with Dr. Horrible.
Yes.
So Neil Patrick Harris now meets Neil Patrick Harris then, and together they form Music Meister. Our powers combine, form of...
Neil Patrick Harris is both the Wonder Twins.
Yes. We've solved that conspiracy theory.
And then another three Neil Patrick Harris's show up and one of them yells, and I'll form the head.
And does Neil Patrick Harris have one of those cardboard boxes that Calvin has where he can duplicate himself? The Clonomatic 3000 or whatever it's called.
That's the plot of the crossover episode.
Yes. Just loads of different versions of Neil Patrick Harris start turning up. And as long as it doesn't turn up like that Red Dwarf episode you mentioned, Andy, the one with the Rimmer monster, then we're okay.
Oh, that was scary.
Yeah. That's the worst effect of a paper jam I've ever seen.
And also, this is giving me kind of an amazing idea for a film.
Oh?
Calvin as a grown-up, played by Neil Patrick Harris.
That could so work. Because I'm thinking, you know, the Bacon and Hobbs or whatever it was, you know, the unofficial spin-off.
Yeah, the unofficial sequel.
Yeah. I could just see Neil Patrick Harris playing the role of adult Calvin in that.
Oh, that would be so good.
Shall we move on?
Yeah, from the story, which is basically, Neil Patrick Harris is kind of great.
Yeah. So, what's next?
Bake Off, creme de la creme. Do we remember talking about this last year?
Didn't that have, what's his name, owns the gastropub called the Fat Duck or something like that? I don't know. But has like two Michelin stars on a pub and is really famous because of that. And used to be like really, really fat, but is now like really tall and thin.
Oh, Tom.
Tom Kerridge, that's it.
Yeah, Kerridge.
So.
You know what? I thought you said, does the show have that Owen's gastropub? I could say that's a funny name.
Owen doesn't have a gastropub, as far as I know.
Anyway, it's got a new host for the new series.
Okay.
Coming this year. And no, it's not Owen's gastropub.
And a new host and a new series of Bake Off Creme de la Creme.
Yeah.
So,
which again, that's the one that's basically like MasterChef, the professionals.
Yeah.
But with baking.
Yes. And they do all sorts of weird, convoluted things with baking. And so... Well, Bake Off's moved to Channel 4, so I'm assuming it's only natural they're going to have to get new hosts for it.
Well, it says new host, so whether he's coming back with two of the other hosts...
Well, it was basically... The creme de la creme was basically Tom Kerridge and three judges. You know, so... they'll probably keep the judges, because the judges know baking, and Tom Kerridge was, you know, he's a chef, but he wasn't, like, a really high-level baker.
Well, the new host isn't really that much of a high level of a baker.
Okay.
The new host is, wait for it, Angus Deaton.
Of course.
Angus Deaton...
He is a natural fit for a baking show.
Angus Deaton, who's more famous for Have I Got News For You and Breaking the Law? Angus Deaton.
Yeah, that Angus Deaton. Mr. Bean, Angus Deaton.
I want to say how and why together. How can I say that together?
How I?
Actually, no, that sounds a bit too much like a Japanese schoolgirl.
So, okay, how and why then?
Well, He says, the show, which pits the country's top professional pastry chefs against each other in a series of intricate tasks, aired its first series on BBC Two last year.
Yeah.
And will stay there despite Bake Off's move to Channel 4.
Whoa. What's going on here?
It's staying there.
Bake Off moved to Channel 4, but Bake Off Creme de la Creme is staying on BBC Two.
Yeah.
Andrew, anyway, are you following this? This is some weird voodoo logic.
It's a spin-off.
This has loophole written all over it, I think.
What loophole?
Also, more importantly,
it's called
the show, which is basically the Bake Off.
Yeah.
And it's still on Channel 2. Why did they not just get Mel and Sue to do it?
Yes.
Yeah, but Channel 4 own the Great British Bake Off, yeah?
Well,
this is called Bake Off Creme de la Creme. So
no, I've got it.
British there.
Sorry, what was that, Andrew?
Is they're going to make this with Angus Deaton.
Yeah.
And then they're going to make a spin-off series called Bake Off Creme de la Creme, The Amateurs, in which they get amateur bakers to compete. And that's what Mel and Sue will host, with Mary Berry as a judge.
Yeah.
Maybe even Tom Kerridge is the other judge.
Yeah, I think Tom Kerridge and Mary Berry will get on.
Yeah, I can see them kind of on a nice little table with the gingham cloth, having little cups of tea. So yeah, I've busted you, BBC.
Yes, we've figured it out. We know what's going on. We know what the truth is. Ah, there are so many things wrong with that particular piece of news.
I think they should have changed the name. It should be called, Have I Got Profiteroles for You or something like that.
No, because then I'd be saying, please, you know. Next up, have I got profiteroles for you? Really? Can I have them now?
But Angus Deaton, though.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's wrong with this story. I mean, it's Angus Deaton, and what was he doing last?
He did the first, couple of series, maybe, of Would I Lie to You, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, before Rob Brydon took over.
Rob Brydon is so much better at it as well.
He doesn't do Eggheads.
Okay, so half the what happened.
Sorry?
Is that Angus Deaton is going to do this first series, and then a much better comedian is going to take over for the rest of them.
Please, Paul Merton on Bake Off Creme de la Creme.
That would be good.
Can you imagine? Now, can you imagine if they set them into two separate teams and you had basically this weird, have I got news for you, Bake Off Creme de la Creme crossover? So you had Ian Hislop on one team and Paul Merton leading the other team. And they had to make all the baking had to do with political commentary or what was in the news. You have
just combine the BBC's two best exports.
Yes, into one. You have 3 hours to make a sculpture of Donald Trump's presidential inauguration, but you can only use shortcrust pastry or something like that.
I mean, to be fair, his face does look like a shortcrust pastry.
Are we talking about, freshly made or one of those really old manky ones that's been out for days?
One of the old ones. It's the one that's just kind of lurking at the back of the shop. The one that no one in their right mind should ever choose.
You make it sound like that shop attendant who that everyone avoids because they smell a bit weird.
Except he's not. He's the guy who runs the shop because his daddy gave it to him.
Anyway, let's leave Angus Deaton and be thankful that there is one team that Angus Deaton is not leading.
Oh, is it the Power Rangers?
Yes. Yes, because the new trailer for the Power Rangers movie came out.
It's based on a TV show, so shut up. We can definitely talk about it on this show.
Well, we can, because we talk about comic book movies on the comic book show, so it's fair game.
Exactly.
So, Saban's Power Rangers, Go-Go Power Rangers, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
The actual thing they start the trailer off with is just Go-Go.
Yeah. Now, so, I am confused about certain bits of this trailer. Number one, when they're in the water and they got the colours and the white guy says, I'm black, and the black guy's going, no, you're not.
It's the Asian guy, isn't it? He's like, I'm black.
Oh, is it the Asian guy?
But get it, because it's the Black Power Ranger, but he's not black.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, original Power Rangers. You can't make the black guy the Black Power Ranger and the Asian lady the yellow Power Ranger.
Yes.
That's not right, Power Rangers. That's not right at all.
Oh, no, no. They made the North American Indian guy the Red Ranger.
No, Power Rangers. No. Just stop it.
No, no. No, no, Power Rangers.
The thing is, that the old shows were actually that bad where casting was concerned, weren't they?
Well, they had one good casting choice, and that was the woman who was playing Rita Repulsa. She was pretty good.
Who's now Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah. Not sure how I feel about that.
Like, I hope she smoked at least 70 cigarettes a day to get her voice ready for it.
Yes. But, okay. Interesting effects work, I thought. But...
thought horrible effects work.
That's why I said interesting.
And it's like, I was going to say...
It's not even that it's bad CGI. It's, what the hell was that design choice? Everything looks like a robot that's had molten wax dripped over it.
Yes. That's why I said interesting.
But this... when I was watching the trailer, I'm thinking, which audience is this supposed to be for? Because this looks like it's for the audience that actually grew up with it.
No.
It's very
confusing.
This is
the gritty reboot of Power Rangers for the audience that likes to watch stuff like Michael Bay's Transformers.
We're not going to see
anything. It reminded me almost exactly of...
what?
Michael Bay's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, it's exactly that. It's basically that kind of film where...
it's trying to take something that's really, really dumb.
Yeah. And turn it into...
make it super serious, but still try and pay reference to the fact it's really dumb.
Yeah, and but failing hard.
Any bit of like awareness at how silly it is.
Yeah. See, the thing is, if
the guy playing Red Ranger unironically yells, "It's morphin' time."
Yeah, I mean, with the Power Rangers, I thought, okay. This, you know, the Megazord looks a lot like Optimus Prime. And, you know, you got buildings being destroyed. You got everyone being super serious. You got them punching sinks for some reason. I don't know why he punched the sink.
Why did teenagers with attitude, Rob.
Why did you punch the sink?
Guys.
Yeah?
You know this is all to do with a crossover. You know, Shia LaBeouf is just going to be the Green Ranger or something like that.
No, because he's moved on. He's moved on now. He's moved on.
No, he's going to show up. He's going to be the Green Power Ranger.
And why is Bryan Cranston Zordon? Come on.
Well, why not?
It's like, although they should have went with Donald Trump.
No.
About him a lot.
I reckon Bryan Cranston decided to be Zordon because he was so angry at the Godzilla movie. He probably thought when he signed up to the Godzilla movie that they were going to let him be Godzilla, but they didn't. And so he was denied. And, you know, his childhood dream of being a kaiju was denied, and now he's got to be Zordon, so he's the closest thing to a kaiju without being a kaiju.
He's just sitting in the recording booth in a Godzilla onesie.
Yes.
Also, I love the design of, you know, those things you can get where it's like a bunch of sticks and you can shove your face into it.
Yeah.
And it makes it like an imprint of your face.
Yes.
That's exactly what Zordon looks like in this.
The pin art.
Yes, that's exactly what he looks like. You're absolutely right. He looks exactly like that.
Like, I want to imagine it's not even CGI. It's just Bryan Cranston in the room over, shoving his face into a wall.
That's some weird horror movie. But yeah, I was not impressed by this. I mean, it was a very Spider-Man way that they got their powers. You know, next morning they wake up and he's looking at his six-pack. And like, yeah, you've basically nicked that from the first Spider-Man movie by Sam Raimi.
You know, I think you've basically hit my main problem with this trailer on the head.
What's that?
It looks like every single blockbuster movie of the past few years.
Yes.
It just does seem like they're taking something that was basically... it was lower budget, wasn't it? It borrowed the original. It borrowed, like, footage from, like, different shows, wasn't it, Rob? You'll know more than I do.
About the Power Rangers?
Yeah.
The Power Rangers didn't borrow footage from other shows.
Borrowed footage from, like, Japanese... Whatchamacallit?
No. The Western version of Power Rangers borrowed footage from the Japanese version of Power Rangers.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. The Western version of Power Rangers wasn't a reshoot of... well, it was in a sense, but the only things that they could reshoot from the Japanese version were the actual bits where the actors didn't wear a mask. Any bits where the actors wore a mask, you know, or where there was rubber suits, that was the Japanese version of Power Rangers.
That's just one of those things that blew my mind when I first found out about it.
Yeah. Think about it in the same way as Takeshi's Castle. The version of Takeshi's Castle that we got here in the West was not the full version of Takeshi's Castle. We just got, like, the recut version.
So, oh, yeah. It's serious in Japan.
Yeah. So, Power Rangers...
Apparently, like, it wasn't even... They took stuff from, like, one Japanese Power Rangers show.
Yeah.
It's actually like a whole bunch of different shows stuck together.
Yeah, they took stuff from, what was it, Masked Rider and various things like that.
Which is weird, because then they also released Masked Rider as like the same kind of thing.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I always preferred Kamen Rider to Power Rangers. If I was going to go for a Super Sentai show, then I'd go with Kamen Rider.
Do you think that this trailer is like high... You know, it's all like serious and things, but if you actually go and see it, when they're up to the fighting bits, they're going to just go back to what they did in the 90s.
Well, effectively, yeah, because...
yes. Well, it's just like, obviously a completely different scene of a monster doing an attack.
Yeah.
Well, and then the Power Rangers like explode and fly backwards.
Well, didn't we see some action bits in the trailer where they were actually fighting as Power Rangers?
And doing the Power Rangers Kung Fu.
Yeah, which is all spin around really fast and not actually hit anything. And then suddenly fireworks and sparks and everyone gets blown back like several feet. And you're like, I'm sure there was no contact there.
I mean, I'll give them that. That is kind of a fun reference if it's intentional.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's intentional.
No, it's probably just bad editing.
And also, how is it that they suddenly know how to fight like that? Since they're all high school kids, apparently they have to train. They had that training bit where they think it's holograms. You're like, no, not a hologram. After he gets punched, you're like, so you learn to fight.
That
like...
was a hilarious gag.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
and certainly I didn't see it coming.
Yeah. So they learn to fight like martial artists against these big kind of rock troll type things or golems or whatever they are. And so they learn to fight
well,
and do the spinny attacks and that.
To be like the putty monsters.
Yeah. Yeah. So they learn to do all those spin attacks and everything like that against those. They have the time to practice those things. And then that whole bit where he's sitting on a train doing like some training on top of a train, I don't understand that. Surely a dojo.
I mean, again, every action blockbuster of the past like decade with the improbably quick training montage.
At least if one of them had been training in martial arts and actually went to a dojo or something like that, I'd say, okay, fine, I'll buy that they, you know, now that they're stronger and faster, he can fight better. Makes sense. Or she can fight better. Makes sense.
To be honest, that's the kind of thing I don't mind.
Yeah.
Because I'm happy to accept it's implausible, but it gives better action sequences.
Unfortunately, in this case, it doesn't look like it does.
In this case, I would have been fine if, like, all the Power Rangers had just gone, now it's time for ultimate attack, instead of just spinning around with their arms out.
No, because then you're bringing back Battle of the Planets, and you can't do that to me. It's Gatchaman. I need a live-action Gatchaman that is just, you know, proper Gatchaman. And it can't be Power Rangers, because Ken the Eagle is awesome.
See, but now all I can assume is that Ken the Eagle fights like he's in a playground.
No. It's got to be Ken the Eagle and Jun the Swan. They are an item forever, man. Forever. It's the two of them forever. Nobody can separate them.
Thanks for that, Rob.
Sorry. Anyway, my childhood was coming out there.
Andy Quick, last story now.
Anyway, going from that to another fictional. This is actually a really funny story.
Yes.
Despite the topic. The Walking Dead, that show that everybody has mixed feelings about.
I think my feelings are pretty clear.
I think most people's feelings are pretty clear on The Walking Dead.
Basically, After the first episode of season 7, which is this season.
Yeah, are you still watching? Are you still watching The Walking Dead, Andy?
Yeah, I watch it anyway.
All right.
But basically, it had a lot of backlash from that first episode. Basically, there were complaints that The Walking Dead was too violent. And now, the executive producer, Gail Ann Hurd, said that the level of violence will be scaled back in the next 8 episodes. Although, the next 8 episodes, no doubt Andrew will get a laugh at this, the storyline called All Out War.
Wah, wah, wah.
So, let me get this straight. A series that includes zombies eating people and you having to kill zombies in order to survive and possibly kill other humans who were trying to attack you in order to survive got criticized for being too violent.
Well, it was, I think it was basically the effect where we just bludgeoned them to death. But
yeah, and you kind of like see Glenn's eyeball hanging out a bit.
But these are technically the people that I'd say.
Oh, is Glenn finally dead? Have they finally killed him?
Yeah, he quite famously died at the start of this series.
They're more than killed him, Rob. but there's a very disturbing picture of Glenn on this article.
Okay, so
yeah, but still, this is dumb.
It is,
because that whole thing with Glenn was clearly done for shock value. And now The Walking Dead is surprised that people were shocked.
Yeah, that is...
God damn it, weird.
That's very dumb.
I mean, how can they scale down? I haven't read the comics, but I read enough on it. I do, research and things like that, just to see what happens.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure that, they've already had to water down the show from the comics.
But All Out War is the title of the next 8 episodes, the second half of the season. Is the All Out War storyline. And to be honest, I know what comes after All Out War. And if they're going to scale it down, I'd want to see how they're going to do it, because in my opinion, it gets a lot worse after this.
So, I don't understand this whole idea of scaling it down. I mean, saying they're going to scale it down, how are they going to scale it down? Is it suddenly going to devolve into it?
We're going to go back to 50s film. People get shot and they just grab their stomachs and go, oh!
It's weird you said over. That. It's weird you said that, because I wasn't actually thinking 50s film. I was thinking 1950s sitcom, right? I was thinking it's going to be our neighbours, the walkers, and it's just going to be zombie neighbours. You know, one of those black and white sitcoms where everything is swell.
Well, to be fair, if The Walking Dead just became 45 minutes of hilarious slapstick a week,
yeah,
I'd be back in.
Well, I got quite a different... when you said go back to the old times, I was thinking 80s Friday the 13th with Negan and his bat with the horrible 80s horror music.
And so is it now Negan Voorhees, not Jason Voorhees?
Negan Voorhees.
Yeah, I don't get this.
Whenever Negan beats someone to death now, can we just have hilarious clown honking sounds instead?
Yes, actually, I can see that. That would actually make it more enjoyable, and it might tone down the scene as well. Mm-hmm. And it might make seeing Glenn at the end with the eyeball hanging out actually funny instead.
Although, let me just dub over all of Rick Grimes' lines, so he's just yelling, "No, Negan, the ketchup! You're smashing the ketchup!"
No, no. You know when they have the picture of Glenn with his eyeball hanging out, just have wah 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 wah. Just get rid of the kind of seriousness of it.
And so then we know how to tone down The Walking Dead.
And then just have someone walk up to Negan and go, "Oh, Magoo, you've done it again."
And then freeze frame as they both burst out laughing.
Yes. Do you remember the Robot Chicken, the DC stuff, when Bane kept appearing and breaking Batman's back and it's like, "That's Bane."
No, because like I've said 50-odd times now, I haven't seen Robot Chicken.
Ah, damn it. Nobody gets my Robot Chicken references. Damn it. I'm sad now. Right, that's your lot for the news, so we're going to take a very quick break and we'll be back in a moment with what we've been watching.
Muscly men in tight, scantily drawn women, and plenty of controversy. only on 4Panel, the Geek Show's exclusive comics and manga podcast.
Hello, do you like films? Well, wow, that's good. We're over the first hurdle. If you like films, and you also like podcasts, you should probably check out the Geek Show's only dedicated movie podcast, Cinema Eclectica. Well-staffed with a trained array of helper monkeys, we review all of the latest films every week, and do it reasonably well.
And we're back. And now we're going to talk about what we've been watching. So, guys, what have you guys been watching?
Well...
And me through the window doesn't count.
Oh, no. No microscope today, so...
Oi, what are you trying to say? Microscope? What?
Well, telescope.
What is this insultingness?
Anyway, I've been watching a show which... I've watched since 2006, and really, it's really sad when I know it's been on for 11 years, but still, it's the new series of Not Going Out.
Okay.
Which yes, is still going.
Are they still not going out?
No, they're actually going out, actually, which weird.
So, hang on. If they're actually going out now, how is it called Not Going Out?
Well, anyway, I think, yeah, they got married, Lee and Lucy got married at the end of the 2014 series, and they had a Christmas special 2015, and then 2 years later, they have a new series set 7 years, 7 or 8 years after their episodes. So now Lee and Lucy don't live in the flat, they live in a house with three kids that are... about 7 or 8.
Okay.
So it's quite a different sitcom, but it's the fresh start that it really needed. It reminds me of an English Married with Children, to be fair.
Okay.
But, but I've really enjoyed it up to now. The jokes are still there. I do recommend anybody that liked the show and haven't caught up with the first two episodes of this season yet, or series, as we say, give it a go. It's really different, it's fresh, and it has a spin-off-y feeling to it, rather than a next series feeling.
Isn't Hugh Dennis in it now as well?
Yes, he plays... It used to be the couple that lived upstairs, but they've just come over now, so...
Okay, I tried watching a little bit of Not Going Out, and Hugh Dennis was on it, and it was this weird crossover of Not Going Out and Outnumbered. Like, what's going on? Mm. You know, is there some kind of weird comedy universe going on the BBC?
It's weird because this, with the three kids now in it, it's like a Outnumbered-ish type show. It basically is two parents coping with three kids, and... Last time I checked, Outnumbered was two parents coping with three kids.
But... Which is like every other kind of family unit sitcom, like My Family and 2.4 Children and all the rest of them.
Mm, true. But yeah, the last episode focused on Lucy and Lee finding a babysitter for the kids and Frank, Lee's dad. I forgot who it is that plays him now. Bear with me.
But what if I don't want to bear with you?
Bobby Ball, that's it.
Bobby Ball?
Bobby Ball plays...
Hang on, Bobby Ball as in Cannon and Ball?
Yeah.
So where's Tommy Cannon?
He played the vicar in the wedding from the seventh series. But yeah, he's played Lee's dad since 2009, I think.
So are they just basically going through and getting all these old comedy duos to come back and play roles in their sitcom? If that's the case, I want to see the Hill and Pierce episode.
Hey, but it is really good.
Okay. Andrew, you're awfully quiet.
I have nothing really to add.
Oh, I thought he went away for a bit there.
He did. He was in the zone.
Don't be silly. I'm committed to the show and definitely didn't have things open in other tabs.
Okay. So, that was not going out, where apparently they go out now.
So still you're getting ratings in the millions as well, in the 4 millions.
Still getting ratings in the 4 millions. Jolly good. So over to you now then, Andrew.
So I've been watching a DVD box set, what we got sent in, and it's The Missing.
Okay.
It's kind of two separate series. They were both on the BBC. And both of them are sort of self-contained stories revolving around a child who's gone missing.
Okay.
So the first one focuses on a man named Tony Hughes, who is played by James Nesbitt. And in 2006, his son goes missing while they're on holiday in France. So this is kind of swaps between 2006 and 2014, I think. Because at the time it's just present day, but this was on like 2 years ago.
Okay, so would so, yeah, be around 2014. Would be around 2014 then, yeah.
And it basically looks at sort of the investigation, how it eventually falls apart, and how they return after getting a new lead. So it's a good watch. I think it's one of those things you watch more for the plot than the characters, the first series.
Okay.
Because you're just kind of sitting there thinking, what's going to happen next? And there's lots of twists and turns. I think the main problem for me is it tries to be quite realistic about what families go through when the child goes missing, and turns out what they go through is a lot of being sad that their child is missing and being angry that their child is missing.
To kind of a normal human reaction.
Yeah. I mean, it's a normal human reaction, but just in a TV show, that translates to James Nesbitt either looking sad or shouting a lot.
Yeah. It doesn't really make for good TV, does it?
I know, because it's literally like two emotions. But it's definitely like a really engaging and enjoyable TV series. And the ending of the first series, when I first watched it when it was on TV, I wasn't that big a fan of it.
Yeah.
But now I actually think it's amazing.
Because
The idea, not to try and like spoil too much, it's basically the idea that not everything gets neatly resolved.
Okay.
Like you find out basically what happened, but with a few plot threads deliberately left dangling. Because, you know, that's how it works in real life.
Yeah.
Is that you never really get a clear answer. And it's about, do you kind of just accept what you've got? Or do you just, like, go on with your life completely obsessed? And I think, because obviously at the time, I was, like, very invested in the mystery, kind of like, they haven't resolved everything and now I'm angry. But now with hindsight, I think, but that's the whole point.
I get you.
So then we've also got Series 2, which is a completely different story, like I've said, and is in fact kind of like this new series of Not Going Out, in that it's a filthy lie. Because this is about a girl who was missing, but then reappears.
What?
Huh?
So this is about a girl named Alice Webster, who disappeared in 2014. No, she disappeared in 2003, but then reappeared in 2014. Because it's kind of confusing, because she gets abducted in 2003 in the first episode, but then it does, like, what the first series does, where you get a bunch of stuff set in 2014 when she reappears, but then it's also cut to the present day for mysterious mystery things.
Okay.
Yeah, this one, again, I really liked it. And I thought having like this whole plotline of a girl who reappears, it allows for more of a range of things. So it's not just that oscillation between sad and angry, which is good because they've got some tremendous actors for Alice's parents. His father is David Morrissey.
Ah.
And the mother is Keely Hawes.
Ooh.
Yeah, lovely Keely Hawes.
Yeah.
So they get to do some of that acting that they're well good at.
Yes.
And also, it's got kind of another actor who's kind of like a Miguel Ferrer, in that you see him in a lot of stuff. He's called Roger Allam, he plays one of the army guys, and that he's really good at this sort of upper class, slightly shady individual. So obviously he's doing that. But also in this, he's got like a Alzheimer's or dementia or something like that. So a lot of his storyline is having to deal with the fact that he's slowly forgetting things. And because he's such a good actor, I could easily just watch a series of that. Yeah. I think the thing I didn't like about the second series, though, is I don't think that technique of doing like going from 2014 to the current day, I don't think that works as well.
Yeah, the gap in time isn't really that big when you get right down to it.
It's not the fact that there's that big of a gap. It's the fact that it doesn't feel as justified.
I see,
the first series, they link the two times together a lot, kind of showing, like, you'll see something in the present day, then cut back to see how things got the way they were.
Yeah.
And it leads to this nice sense of kind of inevitability during the initial investigation that you already know it's going to fail. But with this, it doesn't really seem warranted. And a lot of the mystery stuff kind of feels like it's just a mystery because the show hasn't decided to tell me what the answer is yet. One guy in the army who in the present day has found out, well, in the past, he's like about to start investigating his father's suicide. And then in the present, he's found out something bad about his father. No real sense of there's something that needs to be found out. It's just, it's a thing you already know, and you just haven't bothered telling me what it is yet. That's kind of annoying.
Ah.
Still, overall, it's still really good.
It sounds it.
So you recommend it then, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a series I would recommend.
I think I'm going to have a watch of this. I've been meaning to watch The Missing for a while, but I've never really had time to sit down and do it.
Yeah, it's one of those nice, good, solid BBC mystery drama things that they do sometimes.
I wish they did more of those nice, solid pieces.
It is the mahogany desk of television shows.
Yes, yes, I like mahogany desks. And BBC have been quite flighty with their TV shows of late.
They're still popping out the occasional belter.
Yeah. But we want more. Occasional is too occasional.
Yes, we don't want a drip feed. We want just a flood.
No, because if you have a flood, then it all becomes kind of, yeah, you know? You become surrounded by all that's good, and then you start hating all that's good. You become an elitist then. Nobody wants that.
Okay. Maybe just like a nice, clear lake of good quality television, then.
Yeah, a nice, steady outpouring. Don't be overbearing. Just maybe increase the frequency of good shows per year a little bit. We'd be fine.
What we want is basically the TV equivalent of a man who stands behind us with a bottle of wine, and every time we kind of hold our glass into the air, he just refills it for us.
Yes. Okay, so that's us then, because I don't have a show, because I haven't had the time to watch any TV whatsoever. That's how sad my life is. So we will leave you for this week. All of our shows are available on Mixcloud, iTunes, and YouTube, so you can catch up with all of them through various means. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so, studio@thegeekshow.co.uk, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and various places like that.
Oh. That's the thing.
Oh?
It was just on the Wikipedia.
Yes.
Thought one of the actors looked familiar, and yeah, because basically there's a guy who is kind of this journalist from, well, I assume Iceland, who one of the characters meets in the present day, and he is played by Barry Olafsson, who was the actor who played the lead detective in Trapped, which is that Icelandic mystery drama we did a while ago.
Okay.
It was also one of the things we got sent in as a DVD box set.
Ah, awesome.
Yeah, that's a fun little connection.
Cool. Right, so that's your lot for today then. That's us done. So we're going to leave and we'll see you all next time on the box.
Is that just how we're ending the show?
Yeah, might as well.
We're not doing some, like, until next time I've been so-and-so.
It's up to you. If you want to do it, we can.
Have you been?
No, that's it. It's over. We're finished. The show is dead. Goodbye, everyone. And thanks for listening.